It is great to be in the house of the Lord. As the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We welcome everyone here. If anyone is a visitor, we would please ask you to fill out the visitor cards so that we may know something about you and get so that we can share things about us with you. Let us call ourselves into worship now. Father, we do thank you and love you and praise that you are our one and only God. Father, as we begin our service today, we pray that you will be here among us and that you will lead and guide us in everything that we sing, we say, and we do. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Didn't bring my folder with me. So let's turn to hymn number 390. We are called to be God's people. Let's stand as we sing, please.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for blessing us with this church and this beautiful day. Also, Lord, thank you for giving us the opportunity to come to your house and worship your name. Please be with those that could not be here today that are sick and suffering loss. And please take this offering to further your kingdom. In these things we pray. Amen.
Nice to see you, boys and girls, this morning. Very good. I have a question to ask you, and I almost think it's a silly question, because I know you're going to know the answer. What is this?
A phone.
Of course it is. That's a silly question. And I'm sure all of you have seen one of these, and how many of you have actually used one of these? Of course you have. Of course. Well, you know, everywhere I go, I see them. If I go to the grocery store, I see people using them. If I go, do you see
people?
I do. But cell phones are really handy things, aren't they? Because you can just call, get hold of your friends, your family, no matter where you may be, you can get hold of them. And that's convenient. So, safety, for safety reasons, it's nice to have a phone. But there's something else more important, something I want to share with you, and I want you to think about this. Cell phones have something in common with prayer. Just like we can call anybody on our cell phone anytime we want to, we can talk to God anytime we want to. And He will listen to us anytime we need to pray, and we can pray to Him. We don't even have to push a button, do we? Don't even have to push a button, don't have to do anything. But sometimes close your eyes, and you don't even have to close your eyes, but sometimes it's better to. I want to read you some. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 4. You listening? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God says He will hear us from heaven. Now, I want us to think about this week that no matter where we are, we can go shopping, we can go to school, we can go to a baseball game, we can talk to God. We can be by ourselves, we can be with other people. So think about that this week. And maybe when you see somebody on the cell phone, you can think, I can pray. Listening and talking to us as well. Dear Lord, we thank You for the privilege of prayer. Anytime and any place.
I think the name Angel Choir befits them, don't you? If you will take the insert from your bulletin, please, and we'll sing Draw Me Close to You. This is the song that the choir sang is called to worship. And we sang part of it, and now we're going to sing the whole thing. Let us stand as we sing, please.
Morning. I wanted to read to you a piece of information about life's struggles. One day, a man found the cocoon of a butterfly with a small opening just starting to appear. So he sat down to watch as the butterfly struggled for several hours to force its body through the hole. Then it seemed to stop making any progress. It appeared to the man that it had gotten as far as it could go. Then the man decided to help the butterfly. So he took a pair of scissors, he snipped the remaining bit of the cocoon. The butterfly then emerged easily, but it had a swollen body and very small, shriveled wings. The man continued to watch the butterfly because he expected at any moment the wings would enlarge and the body would contract so that it could fly, but neither thing happened. Sadly, the butterfly spent the rest of its life crawling around with a swollen body and shriveled wings. It was never able to fly or ever able to be a truly beautiful butterfly. What the man in his well-meaning kindness and haste did not understand was that the restricting cocoon and the struggle that was required for the butterfly to get through the tiny opening was God's way of forcing fluid from the body of the butterfly into its wings so that it would be ready for flight once it made it out of the cocoon. Sometimes, like the butterfly, the struggles that we go through in life are necessary, although we don't usually understand why. If God allowed us to go through life without any obstacles, it would hurt our growth. Then we would not be as strong as we should be, and it could keep us from soaring to the wonderful heights that He has planned for you and me. Let us be mindful that God is fully aware of the struggles that we face each day. God is not a bystander. God is actively involved in our life, molding us through all of life's challenges. As we allow this truth to permeate through our life, we realize how God can use all things for His glory. Let us allow God to show us how His glory is to be revealed.
Thank you, Lou Ann. What a tremendous lesson in life for us about struggle. And in our prayer list today, there are some who are facing struggles, and we want to be praying for them. Lynn Reagan will be having surgery this Wednesday. We want to keep her lifted up, and I want to add and just ask us to pray a very special prayer for Betty Hurley. Betty is at Central Carolina Hospital hoping to have some tests done, but she's struggling right now with some things, and she just needs her church family to lift her up, and so I know you'll join me. as we do that. Others on this list, so valuable to us, so valuable to God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your presence, especially when we find ourselves in those tight places in life, those cocoons, if you will, where you are forcing your spiritual fluid through our life to make us something greater than we ever believed we could be. And Lord, we know that sometimes physical struggles, they're the most difficult. They're hard on the person. They're hard on the family. And so we lift these on this list to you now, O God, and ask your blessing to be upon them in a very special way. And Lord, we do lift Lynn as she faces surgery, and we lift Betty to you, God, in a very special word this morning, asking for you to bless them and their family, as you know there is need. And God, would you continue to help us as we are here today to share with you about some things we might be wrestling with, some things in our past, some decisions that we made or some decisions we didn't make, some things we did or some things we should have done. And Lord, how they might help us mold that future instead of distracting us from being all that you created us to be. Would you speak to us now? In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Thank you, angel choir. I was thinking as our choir sang and as I was praying, as those words, they're a prayer, right? They changed my heart, oh God. Some reason, I don't know exactly why, another song came to my mind, and the question that I had as I was praying to God was, am I singing, change my heart, oh God, or am I singing, we will not be moved? Maybe that prayer, more than anything else I can do, will affect at least how I continue to worship the Lord this day. Change my heart, oh God. Make me to be like you. Beautiful words, beautiful thought, powerful prayer. I hope we'll pray that this morning. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 32. We looked last week at Genesis chapter 12, that great statement when Abraham, by faith, left the land of Ur, the land of Haran, to the land that God would show him. We talked about going and showing and growing in our faith. And today we're going to look at another one of those powerful moments in Scripture when Jacob will be changed, when God will change his heart. And God worked on his heart for years. The name Jacob means the holder of the heel. We might call it the cheater. You remember Jacob, his brother Esau. When they were born, Jacob was born holding on to his brother's heel. He came into this world cheating. He got a ride into the world on his brother's heel. And so they named him Jacob. But his name's going to be changed in our text today to the name we know him more famously as. In fact, the nation still exists with his name. That name is Israel. That name Israel that mentions to us that it is, he strives with God. That's what the name Israel means. He strives with God. I asked myself as I was preparing this sermon, am I a Jacob or am I an Israel? Am I a cheater or do I strive with God? Am I a shortcut taker? One who lives on trickery? Remember how he steals his brother's birthright. He and his mom, they plot together. And Esau's out hunting and he's about to starve and they make a porridge. And I mean, it's some good homemade soup. You know, it's good stuff. And the man literally, he's pushed the envelope. He's gone one step beyond Survivor 3. And he's about to die. And here comes Jacob with that soup. Oh, you can just smell it before you can even know Jacob's coming. Give me the soup, brother. I'll sell it to you for your birthright. Why was that important? That meant that Isaac would bless him and give him the right of the firstborn, the greatest gift. The firstborn in ancient times, that was the one that got it all. And Jacob, the trickery, the cheater, he stole his brother's birthright. And our text today, it's after he's gone into a faraway country and he has worked hard. He's been tricked. The tricker gets tricked. He gets tricked by his father-in-law and he comes back with two wives and his family. But he's afraid that Esau, a manly man. He had to kill a goat and wrap it around his arms to get close to the hair that Esau had on his arms. This manly man. When I go back, it may not go well. Jacob thought, he knew he had to go, but he thought this could be mine. He thought Esau would kill him. And there are probably some good old boys out here right now saying, yeah, and he ought to, too. Tricking rascal. He ought to kill him. He deserves to be killed. And then I think, I have so much I don't deserve. How about you? In fact, I think I can say, without being one of poor self-esteem, but one that's just being honest, everything I have, I don't think I deserve it. Oh, I've worked and I've saved and I've tried to be a good steward with what God has brought my way, but deserve? I'm glad God doesn't give me what I deserve. How about you? So here we are. He sent the family on ahead. He's crossed the river several times. And now he's by himself in our story tonight, this morning. He's by himself. He's having a moment of getting his courage up. He's having a moment of trying to get himself prepared to go for whatever might lay on the other side of the river when he meets Esau. He's ready for his death. He's hoping for a blessing, but he's ready for his death. He's preparing. I wonder if I've come today to prepare. I wonder if I've come today hoping God might help me from where I am to where I need to be. I'm wondering if today God might have a word for me that could change the way I leave this place and the way I live my life. That's what happens when we wrestle with God. And in Jacob's case, when he wrestles with his past. Our text, Genesis chapter 32. We're going to read verses 22 through 32. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word? The same night he arose and he took two wives and two female servants and his 11 children, and he crossed the ford of the Jabbok. And he took them and he set them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob, he was left alone. And now this bizarre story, and this is a bizarre story, I'm telling you, this is a bizarre story. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. And when the man saw that he could not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. And then he said, "Let me go, for the day is broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is in the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. May God add his blessing to the reading and grant us understanding of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, for a moment or two, would you speak to us not only about Jacob becoming Israel, but about Gary becoming more godly, about each one of us striving to see you in more places of our life, doing what you would have us to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, if you wonder where WWW got its start, you know that worldwide wrestling? I got to believe this was the first match right here. This has got to be it. Probably was on pay-per-view, the only way you could watch this wrestling match. It's bizarre. It's a bizarre story. There's no other story in the Bible like it. And if you want me to explain it to you so it makes perfectly good sense to you, you are going to leave disappointed today. I'm sorry about that. I know there are many cases in the Old Testament where men will show up and God will be in the midst of that. And people will recognize that Abraham when the two men come, Lot when the two men come to him. Over and over it happens, especially in the book of Genesis. And that's what happens here. Who is the man? Oh, there have been all kinds of theories. Some say it's a reverse story of the goblins that would guard the river, but that doesn't make sense because the way the story is told. Others say it was an angel, but angels usually give their name. He wouldn't give his name. And then the name that he calls the place, Peniel, the place where I have seen God face to face. It is a God moment. We know that. And I've noticed that sometimes God's moments come in ways that aren't quite clear, but they just come, and it's clear that it was a God moment. You know what I'm saying? We don't understand how we got in that place or why we ended up there doing what we were doing, but this is what we do know. We do know that in that moment, God was there. That's what happened to Jacob. This unknown combatant becomes the face of God. What are we battling today? You know what I'd almost guarantee us? That most of us today have entered the worship center with some battle in our life. It may be a battle of depression or disappointment. It may be heartache. It may be the battle of breaking a habit. It may be the habit of a broken relationship. It may be the habit of something in our heart that we know does not please God. But here we are. Ready to wrestle? What does that guy say? Let's get ready to rumble. Are we ready? Are we ready to wrestle with God? Someone said that persistence is like wrestling with a gorilla. You don't give up when you get tired. You give up when the gorilla gets tired. And I think there's some truth to that. Do we have a gorilla in our past? Is there something in our past that is stopping us from becoming the beautiful butterfly God would have us to be? May I dare say probably. The situation, I've already kind of chronicled for it. Jacob's a thief. Are you a thief? They say, most people say at some point in my life I've stolen something, but I'm not a thief. Most folks will say at some point in my life I've told a lie, but I'm not a liar. Well, we won't argue words. Are there things in our past that might be interfering with us being off? What are you struggling with this morning? Family? Finances? Both? There was a couple that was having an awful lot of conflict over the balancing of the checkbook. Isn't it funny? You know, one of the major causes of divorce is finances in the family. And it's just simply math. If you were in the business meeting, you know I don't do math very well, but hopefully you do better. I'll let Lunette do our math. They were just at each other. It just wasn't going to work out. And so finally he said, and I found this when I was looking for the word wrestle. He finally said, I tell you what, I'm going to let you wrestle with it for a while. And if you can't get it done, then I'm going to take it over. Well, an hour or two later, she came back and she said, I've done it. It balances. Impressed, he said. Let me take a look. He says, let me see. Mortgage, yeah. Electricity, yeah. Phone bill, yeah. And then his brow kind of wrinkled. He said, ESP, $2,500. What is that? She said, oh, ESP, that means era someplace, $2,500. Are you here today with an era somewhere? That maybe you just, you wanted it to balance. You wanted your life to be balanced. You wanted to walk with God in the coolness of the day, like Enoch. You wanted to have sweet fellowship with God, but the account just, it won't balance. There's an error somewhere, someplace. And maybe even now the Holy Spirit of God in this place is bringing that error back. Maybe it's just, you just wanted to put it in the past and just not even worry about it. And balance the book another way. But it doesn't balance, does it? What are you struggling with today? Who's your Esau? The river, is it close or is it a long way away? Do you have to cross Jabbok today? Or can you put it off to tomorrow or next week or next month? Because if we can put Jabbok off, the river to cross, with Esau on the other side, then we can put off any change my heart, oh God, And we can sing, I will not be moved. In our situation, are we ready for the struggle? The situation. You have to tell me what it is. You have to tell God what it is. Because not everyone has the same struggles. Not everyone sees things the same way. I read this letter of a kid that was from West Virginia that was enduring Marine basic training on Parris Island in South Carolina. It says, Dear Mom and Pa, I am well. I hope you are. Tell Brother Wald and Brother Elmer the Marine Corps beats working for old man Minich by a mile. Tell them to join up quick before all the places get filled. I was restless because they let you stay in bed till nearly 6 a.m. But I'm getting used to sleeping late. Tell Walt and Elmer that all you have to do before breakfast is smooth your cot and shine some things. No hogs to slop, no feed to pitch, no mash to mix, no wood to split, no fire to lay, practically nothing. Men got to shave, but it's not so bad. They've even got warm water here. Breakfast is strong on trimmings like fruit juice and cereal, bacon and eggs, but kind of weak on chops and potatoes, ham, steak, fried eggplant, pie, and other good food we have for breakfast. But tell Walt and Elmer, you can always sit by two city boys, and they just live on coffee. Their food plus yours holds you over till noon when you get fed again. It's no wonder those city boys can't walk much. We go on what they call route marches, and the platoon sergeant says they're long and hard. If he thinks so, it's not my place to tell him different. A route march is about as far as we had to go to the mailbox and back. The city guys, they got sore feet, and they all have to ride back, and we all get to ride back in the truck. Tell them the sergeant's kind of like a school teacher. He nags a lot, and the captain's kind of like the school board. Majors and colonels, they just ride around and frown. They don't bother nobody. We don't have any majors or colonels in here, do we? Okay. The next will kill Walt and Elmer with laughing. I keep getting medals for shooting. I don't know why. The bullseye's not near as big. It's about as big as a chipmunk's head, and it don't move. And it ain't shooting, and ain't nothing shooting back at you like the Higgett brothers across the hollow. All you got to do is lie down in a comfortable position and hit it. You don't even load your own cartridges. They got them in boxes. And then we have this so-called hand-to-hand combat training. You get to wrestle with them city boys. I have to be real careful, though. They break real easy. It ain't like fighting with the old bull at home. I'm about the best they got, except for old Tug Jordan over there at Silver Lake. I beat him only once. He joined up the same time as me. Of course, I'm 5'6 and 130, and he's 6'8 near 300 pounds. Be sure to tell Walt and Elmer to hurry and join for all the other fellows get this set up and come stampeding in. Your loving daughter, Alice. Now, see, y'all weren't ready for that, were you? Y'all weren't ready for Alice. See, what are your struggles? They may be different. What you may consider a struggle may look like a vacation to me. May be easy for me. Maybe that's why God puts us together, that I can help you with what you struggle with. You can help me with what I struggle with. I wonder today, this bizarre wrestling match, it teaches us that the struggles in the past can interfere with the future. I bet there's somebody here today, maybe most of us here today, who the past is clouding the future. It did for Jacob. Oh, he had been so wrong. He had done so many such a disservice. In fact, I would say, God, you should have chosen better to make him the father of your chosen people. I think Esau would have been a better choice. What are you struggling with? We've all made mistakes. There's not a one of us here that's perfect. None doeth good. No, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. like Jacob, maybe if for a moment today we could get alone with God. Maybe if we could just say, God, I've sent everybody across the river, and here I am, just me and my struggle and your future. Your future, God. Not my future. If I did my future, it would be so much different. But I'm not walking into my future. I'm walking into your future. I want to walk with you, oh God. I want to walk where you want me to walk. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be what you want me to be. I want to live like you want me to live. Isn't that what we sing? God, help us if we come and sing these songs. Change my heart, oh God, when our spirit is humming. I shall not be moved. Leads me from the situation and the struggle to the solution. Let God change our circumstances. God's blessing comes from our struggle. What a beautiful story Lou Ann read. It's sometimes what seems to be so hard, and so many times we want to change it all, and so many times I would change it all. I would change so much. But that's not my job. That's not my place. It's not my prerogative. It's not even within my ability. I can't change my circumstances, but oh, I can change me, can I? By the grace of God, I can change me. I can prepare myself to face whatever might lie ahead. I might not like it, but I can prepare myself by God's grace, by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, if I'm willing to let Him carry me. A man was riding down a road on a horse and cart, and he saw a stranger struggling under a heavy load on his back. He stopped and offered him a ride, and he gladly accepted the ride. But as they rode along together, he noticed that the man never took the pack off his back, and he continued to struggle. You could tell it was difficult to sit with that load on his back. And then the man said, "Well, why don't you just lay your pack down in the cart?" To which the stranger, like Gary, replied, "Oh no, it's good of you to carry me. I couldn't expect you to carry my burden too." That's a simpleton way of thinking, isn't it? And yet I'm guilty. I've come in and say, "Lord, I belong to you." But I'm walking out the door with my problems, and I'm going to deal with them my way. I'm going to handle my struggles. I'm not going to give them to you. I know you could change them, but Lord, you've already saved me, and I don't want you to do anything else. I'll struggle with them myself. I'll see you next week. I'll be back. Probably have a few more pounds on that heavy load. Jacob at the river laid it down. He strove with God. He walked with God. He went with God. There's an interesting thing that takes place in our story. His name changes. His name changes. You know, I don't know why they named me Gary. You know, my first name's William. William Gary. And they named me William Gary. And they called me Gary. And that's confusing. Somebody called the other day and said, "Hey, Bill." I said, "You got a wrong number," and hung up because I didn't know who they were after. Because I'm Gary. And I don't know why. And I asked, "Why'd y'all name me Gary?" "Well, William's from my granddaddy. I got that. And Gary sounded nice." You know, sometimes we just have names because they sound nice, or they fit well with the last name or whatever. But in ancient times, names had meaning. And to change a person's name was to change a person. It was a moment. If you got a name change, it was a statement that said, something in your life is totally different. Today, does something in our life need to be totally, totally different? Do we need to walk out of this place with a different spirit, with a different thinking, with a different attitude about something in our life than we walked in with? Then we need a name change. And in this case, as in Abram to Abraham, Jacob to Israel, from the cheater to one who's driven with God. I wonder if when we leave today and someone says, "Hey, how are you?" "I'm fine." "Who are you?" "I'm Israel. I have striven with God. I walk with God. I walk with God." Sometimes the load is heavy and my back hurts, but I'm learning. I hadn't got it all the way figured out, but I'm learning to take the pack off. And as the old spiritual says, I'm going to lay down my burdens down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. Down by Jacob. Israel. At the river Jabbok. What do you need to lay down today? Israel, not Jacob. Israel, who crossed the river. Israel wouldn't meet his brother. Israel would be embraced by Esau and forgiven. Israel would establish the covenant of God. And his boys, his 12 sons, would form the 12 tribes of Israel, the nation. And out of the tribe of Benjamin, off the root of Jesse, David's dad, 14 generations, give or take, would come one whose name was Jesus. And Jesus would take all of your struggles and my struggles. He would take all of your burdens and my burdens. And he wouldn't carry them to a river, but he'd carry them to a hill. The place of the skull, Golgotha, Calvary. And there he would take the work that God began when he struggled with that bizarre story of Jacob to Israel. It would find its completion on Calvary's hill, when Jesus, carrying your sin and my sin, your struggle and my struggle, and he would cry out in a loud voice to God the Father, "It is finished. It is finished. It's been accomplished. The debt's been paid. The victory has been won. The battle's over." I think there's some folks that still got a pack on your back. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come and lay it down and ride a while with the Master, the Solution Giver. What's your situation? You and God know. What's your struggle? You and God know. What's your solution? You and God. You know? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, grace, and mercy that manifests itself perfectly in Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, there could be some life-changing confessions, professions, some decisions, Lord. Some of us are wrestling with some things that we don't know how we could ever win. We can't get away. And the gorilla's not tired. So we're going to come to you, oh God. Here we are. Nothing between us and you but our faith and your faithfulness. Lord, would we even now allow your Holy Spirit to bring to our heart and mind decisions that we need to make. There's one here who doesn't know you in the pardon and forgiveness of their sin and doesn't know that their name has been written down in eternity in heaven's books. Then today could be the day of salvation. Today could be the day that person could change eternity. Give them faith and courage to step out and to step forth. Maybe there's a believer here who says, Lord, today your Spirit has spoken to my heart and I need to make some changes. You know what they are, Lord, about my church, about my family, about my work, about school, about me. You know, oh God. Give us courage. Give us Israel kind of courage to cross the river, striving with you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn this morning is page number 52. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. This morning, if God is placing some thought on your mind, you need to respond to Him. Some situation, some struggle. Don't leave this place with it. Please don't leave this place with it. Please, please, please don't leave this place with it. Don't do it. Give it to God. Give it to God. As we stand together and sing. Safe place. So we'd rather you come and bring your trunk.
or do a trick, whichever you want to do. You don't want to do a trick, you can just do a trunk. True. I got that all right. If you want to do a trick, you can do a trick. But we do, I think we've got 10. We had 20 last year. We need more folks to sign up so the kids will have a better gathering. And our tradition for years has been to bring candy to the fall carnival. So if you can't come, and know you can't do a trunk, you can bring some candy, put it in the small kitchen, but we'd rather have the folks out here meet the kids when they come by. And I think that's really all that I needed to mention to you, especially. I do want to say a word of thanks to everyone for the Sunday school gathering that we had last night. It was wonderful. And I saw on Facebook, and I didn't know this. I didn't know that Tommy was a founding member of our fire department, and I didn't know that Johnny had been the chief. And I saw that on Facebook last night. They were honored at the fire department. That's a group we need to pray for often. As they, every time you hear them head out, I hope you will offer a prayer before them as they do us a great service. And that was a fine one for our church, as we are thankful for all those who serve us. And now, as we leave this place, one more thing before we leave this place. You might want to wear bags, and I was going to tell you. Matt, fill the pulpit for Greg Burch. Greg has worshiped with us. He's a pastor at Rocky River. He's gone this week, and he is filling the pulpit for him at Rocky River. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be his people. In the midst of all this, would you pray with me? God, go with us from here, to the rivers, to the Esau's, to the struggles of our life. God, continue to give us the strength to give them to you, and bless us in our weakness, for there we find our strength. In Jesus' name.
Christ's leadership.